All right, so we're going to continue today with what we left off last time. This, I think, this is the first time that we're doing two parts on one, two shiurim on one essay. But this is, to refresh our memories, this is Perek Gimel of the Sefer. We, midway through our learning, we then went back to the beginning of the book. And we're up to Ma'amar Shlishi. This is a lengthy piece, 20 plus pages, where Rav Asher Weiss is asking the most fundamental question you can ask about Bitachon, which is, what is it? And we saw last time, just to review, a major machlokes. And the chakira was basically, is bitachon just an amazing, demanding midah to trust in Hashem? Or is it even more than that? Is it kind of a lottery ticket that if you truly, truly trust in Hashem, that's a guarantee that good things will happen? And I mentioned at the time that I think many of us, certainly who are more rationally inclined, are going to be noted to the first option. And we saw a very eloquent defender and expositor of that first approach is the Chazon Ish, who refers very strongly with very critical terms to anyone who thinks that bitachon is a guarantee for good things. He's very upset about that, and I think for many, many modern people, lowercase m, I think that resonates. However, as we have to be honest, and Rav Asher Weiss with his great Pekias did, we saw last time, he started showing that despite the compelling arguments of the Chazon Ish, many, many, many other Mefarshim disagreed. And if I remember correctly, I think together we actually saw three or four different sources that disagreed with the Chazon Ish. We started off by seeing the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, we saw the Baal Shem Tov, then we even saw the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, which was not exactly on point, but very close. And I mentioned that there are other kind of Hasidic Svarim that we didn't even get through besides the Baal Shem Tov, that also all seem to say the opposite of the Chazon Ish. That in fact, if you have true bitachon and truly trust in Hashem, that is a way to tip the scales. In other words, it's not just that you'll get what you deserve, even if you don't deserve it, but by having bitachon, that's like a lottery ticket, that's a guarantee, a silver bullet to get what you want. Really an incredible thing. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to skip to Chelek Bet of the essay. It's a big essay, so he divides it into two. I just mentioned to you what we're skipping. Even though it would be very interesting to learn, it's really remarkable to see Rav Asher Weiss's incredible Bekiyas. He's so famous for his Bekiyas in Halacha, but in this essay he demonstrates incredible Bekiyas in Machshava and in Chassidus. I'm skipping numerous citations from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Zohar, the Chafetz Chaim, multiple citations from the writings of the Vilna Gaon, the Radak, the Sefer Ikarim, the Yalkut Shimoni, the Kat HaKemach, again the Radak, the Yerushalmi, and the Kedushas Levi, and again the Yalkut. Okay, that's what we're skipping. So you'll trust me that whatever nuances are in the different pieces, basically they're all making the point that the Chazon Ish is wrong. In other words, they're all coming on that point that bitachon is more than simply a good midah. It's more than simply being frum and realizing that everything is berhashkacha, which is what the Chazon Ish said. And that's frankly ambitious and hard enough for the average person. But they're all going further than that, seeming to say that bitachon has the power to even tip the scales as an independent value, not just an awareness that everything comes from Hashem, which is what the Chazon Ish seems to say, but more than that. So now, with all that in mind, he ends the end of the first section. You see here, looking now to the source sheet, he ends Chelek Aleph by saying, V'kol zeh, which is a lot, l'chora shelo k'divrei Chazon Ish. Right? All of this seems to be against the Chazon Ish. So what are we going to make of it? So in order to answer that question, and here we're going to try to move fast, but we're going to still see a lot of sources today, he wants to suggest, as he says here right in the opening paragraph, that really, you can go back to two primary sources, a fundamental disagreement, but I'm going to give you a cheat for you a little bit. He's going to, in the end, up saying he doesn't think it's much of a machlokes at all, but nevertheless, it seems like these two approaches really can be rooted. He said, Nechleku Shnei Gedoli Olam, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachaye in the Chovos HaLevavos. He thinks we can find anchors to both approaches in these two sources, and as he's going to show, he thinks that they're actually, interestingly, arguing over the exact same pasuk. How to translate, how to interpret, the same pasuk. So he starts off with the Ramban, and the Ramban has an essay in his collected writings called Emuna Ubitachon, which is, interestingly enough, the same name, more or less, as the Chazon Ish Sefer. But here, the Ramban says as follows, Od Amar, the pasuk says, Batach b'Hashem, Va'asei tov, right? That's in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Trust in Hashem, va'asei tov, and do good. Kolomar, af al pi she'ein b'yadcha ma'asim, even if you have not done the right thing, v'teida ba'atzmacha she'ata rasha, and you know yourself that you're a rasha, Im kol zeh, nevertheless, batach ba Hashem, ki hu bal rachamim, v'yirachem alecha. So it says the Ramban, and you see why Rav Asher Weiss is bolding it, that seems very, very, you know, resembles very much some of the sources we saw from Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal Shem Tov and others, that even if a person doesn't deserve it, but the very fact that he has bitachon itself could tip the scales. Skip a little bit to the next page here with the Ramban, where the Ramban himself summarizes what he means, and he says, "Kolomar bein shetiyah tzadik bein shetiyah rasha batach b'Hashem." The pasuk is saying everyone has to trust in Hashem, and then what's the second half of that pasuk? The phrase was batach b'Hashem va'asei tov. So says the Ramban, what comes next? Achar kach amar va'asei tov. Kolomar af al pishu racham v'chanun. Al yitachcha yitzircha shelo tirara, k'Hashem yizbarach marich rucheha v'gabei dela, etc., etc. In other words, says the Ramban, really, really, batach b'Hashem is enough. You really, in theory, could count on that, even if you're wicked. So how come David HaMelech says still v'asei tov? So if I understood the Ramban correctly, tell me if you disagree, but I think what the Ramban is saying is, it's like an insurance, investment. You know, buy an insurance ticket. You never know. At the end of the day, maybe you didn't have enough bitachon. Right? Who said you had the pure bitachon? So the Ramban explains, batach b'Hashem, v'asei tov. Even though Hashem is a racham v'chanan, he could give mercy on you just because of your bitachon, still, you never know. Maybe you didn't exactly do it 100% correct. Okay, but that's the Ramban, which seems to be like this majority view that we've seen, ranging from Rav Chaim Volozhiner to Hasidic sources, Midrashim, even other Rishonim, and we see it yet again in the Ramban. What is important for us, as he summarizes, is Harilana Dvarim Bihirim Ubrurim B'Devir Ben Hagadol HaRamban the Gamal HaRosha Liftoch BaHashem Shai Rachma V'Kol Ma'asav V'Gamal HaRosha Yirachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Yiftach Alav. So despite the fact that the Pasuk says V'Asei Tov, the thrust of the Ramban still seems to be that it's not a joke for a Rosha to think things are going to work out well just because of his bitachon. Bitachon in and of itself, Kishel Atzma, could be a Zechus, which not only tips the scales if the scales are even, it could tip the scales even if the scales are not even. Right? And that's a chiddush which we've seen in many, many sources. However, he says, Ach b'chovos halavavos in the Shahar Bitachon, he is going to suggest that he disagrees. And we won't read all of this, but let's jump around a little bit. He says in the beginning, Shetieh hashkachaso chazaka v'hishtadluso gedola l'kai mashachayvu b'haborim avodaso ulasos mitzvosav ulizar masher hizaru mimenu. The first thing, says the Chovos HaLevavos, is you got to do good. A person has to do the mitzvos, has to follow the halachos, realize that they're obligated to follow and do what Hashem wants. And that's what Hashem wants. Shiyeh borei lo b'mashu botech alav bo. Right? Bitachon, trusting in Hashem, is not like some automatic thing. It's part and parcel of all these other things you're supposed to do correct for Hashem. As it says, k'mashe kosov razal, asei ritzono, kiritzoncha, make his will into yours, kedeshi yaaseh ritzoncha kiritzono, so that Hashem will do what you want. Vatel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, and if you want something different than Hashem, bimavatel that, as the Mishnah says, kedeshi yavatel ritzon achirim mipnei ritzoncha, so that Hashem should do for you what you want, even if other people would want something else. So, the Rabbi Abachaya here is definitely talking about the importance of bitachon, and bending your will to Hashem and wanting and identifying with Hashem. But the Rabbein Abachai did not separate that from what came before. He talked about how you have to lasos mitzvosav, lizaher miyasher hiziru mimenu, etc., etc. And this idea of both doing the mitzvos and having bitachon leads the Chovos HaLevavos to the pasuk that we saw in the Ramban as well, the pasuk in Tehillim. Vomar HaKatuv, batach b'Hashem v'asei tov. And the pasuk continues, shechan eretz ura'ah, emuna, so that you'll dwell in the land and that you'll be able to live and eat securely. Vamar akasuv batach b'Hashem v'asei. I'm sorry. Vamar, and again another psukim we're familiar with. Right, you should tov Hashem l'koivav l'nefesh l'dershenu. Right, people who trust in Hashem, Hashem will do well for. That is to say, here where it's bolded. Aval mi sheyivtach lo alabore v'hu mimare oso, says the Rabbein Abachai. All this leads to the following conclusion. You need both, and therefore, someone who just has bitachon, but he's mimare oso, but he rebels against Hashem. I'm not doing the mitzvos, but I trust in Hashem. Right? He's a ganav, you know, the ganavim that before they break into the bank, they say Tehillim. Right? They're doing all sorts of averos. Right? He's not saying that they're faking it. We're not saying that they're faking it like they don't even mean it. They're just trying to impress us. No, maybe they have real bitachon in Hashem. but they're not doing what Hashem wants. Such a person says the Rabbeinu Bachaye, Kamu hu sechel, how foolish is he? The kama dato chalusho v'hakarato, how weak, how ridiculous is his thinking? Ki hu ro'eh, ki misha nitmaneh. Imagine, he says, like a mashal, misha nitmaneh lo mibnei adam al davar. If you were appointed, you were given a certain job by somebody, and you, on the promise or the conditions of a certain salary or reward. Kishu mitzaveh oso litasek mitzorach mitzorachav. You were given a certain command to do something or not to do something, and a certain reward you would get if you did it. And then what happened? You were ya'avor al mitzvotav. You didn't listen to whatever your boss told you. When he finds out, he knows that you did that. If you got hired to do a job, you didn't do it. Your boss comes to check and see if you did the job. When you didn't do it, you're not going to say, but I still have a right to my salary. It's obvious and understood, says the Chovos HaLevavos, if you got hired to do a job, and on condition of doing the job, you're going to get paid. If you don't do it, you can't still rightfully and reasonably expect that the thing that you previously promised, you're going to get. The fact that, again, to use his words, just to go back to the same, the last sentence, even though it was Masha Batach Alavbo, even though you had been promised something, but that was on contingency. You were promised something on condition that you did whatever the job was. If you didn't do it, you can't hold the person who promised you the reward, hold him at his word if you didn't keep your word. So if that's true, we all understand that, says the Chovos HaLevavos. That's obvious in human relationships. Kol Shekein, Misha over achukei elokim mitzvosav, asher yad hiyid alehem. Hashem promises us great good things in this world if we will follow the mitzvos. But that's only shetiyat tocheles haboteach lav v'zeh shekishimereu. But that was assuming that you followed it. It's v'haya im shamoa tishmeu el mitzvotai. If you listen to Hashem, if you do the mitzvos, Hashem promises us the schar. But if we don't do that, if we rebel against him, if we're disrespectful, lo ye ro'i li karei b'shem boteach b'lokim, you can't say, but Hashem, I'm boteach in you, please reward me. Right? So again, in and of itself, this seems like such a reasonable thing. After all, the Chovos HaLevavos has such a great mashal from human interactions. And yet, one of the things that we see, of course, is that this Chovos HaLevavos is not just arguing on the Ramban. He seems to be arguing on many other sources. And what catches Rav Asher Weiss's attention, he says here at the end of the page, Ra'azeh Pela, it's amazing, he says, Shnei Anakei HaTorah Pirshu Pasuk Echad, they're both going with the same Pasuk in Tehillim, Batach Ba'ashem Va'asei Tov, and yet, he giyu l'maskanot hafuchot, but yet, they come to opposite conclusions. L'daz HaRamban Mochiach HaPasuk Zeh, the Gamla Rosha, Yesh Makom U'mitzvah Liftoch Ba'ashem. You should know, the Ramban said, that even independently, Batach Ba'ashem is a value for all people. Even a person didn't do any good things. We added, as the Ramban did, it's still asay tov, because you might as well, that's like an insurance policy, just in case. But really, batach b'Hashem is enough according to the Ramban. Add Rav Asher Weiss in the parentheses, and this extra point is enough to explain what the Chovos HaLevavos had said, and go against the mashal of human life that the Chovos HaLevavos had brought. Dachein abotech b'adam, third line. Umamareh piv sechel v'shotehu. Of course, in human interaction, if you, want to say, but to your boss, I love you and I trust you, but then rebel against what he asked you to do, ach lokach habotech b'kadosh baruch hu, shirach hamav al kol ma'asav, v'afal kol rishon b'chem l'sor harbei. Says Rav Asher Weiss, the real difference is that you can't compare. It's not a good mashal from the Ramban's perspective. Because a human being is not a kadosh baruch hu. And he's not your boss. If anything, we should ask the question, and this is an interesting thought experiment. Not a boss, but your father, Avinu Shebashamayim. Right? What would happen if you didn't do what your parents expected of you? Would they cut you off? Even if they're very upset at you, would they stop being your father? Would they stop loving you? Would they stop having Rachmanos on you? So the answer maybe depends on how bad you are or what their personality is. But the Avinu Shebashamayim, the Father in Heaven with the capital F. So in essence, says Rav Asher Weiss, what you see from the Ramban is he's saying is, His capacity to have rachamonis on you, to help you, is not, and of course your father would want you to do good things, Hashem wants us to do good things, but it's not going to be a habo hatalia. And therefore the mashal that Chovos HaLevavos gave is not a good mashal. And all of that is what Ramban learned from this pasuk. However, he says at the end of the paragraph, Lumato Rabbeinu Bachaye, Laman mi pasuk zesh, im lo yase tov, ein abitachon, ela tocheles nich zeva. Right? But according to Rabbeinu Bachaye, he says the exact opposite. Who does it make sense to have bitachon? Only someone who is also Aseh Tov. Now, in light of all this, we just seem to have two more sources in the big machlokas. But here's where we come to the second part of today's shir and the, so to speak, the conclusion, if you will, which of Usher Weiss is going to try to play the proverbial Katuf HaShlishi. Right? This is, or if you prefer it in more academic hoity-toity terms, we're now at the third part of the dialectic. Right? The way a dialectic works is you have a thesis, then you have an antithesis, and then you have what's called the synthesis, or what in Yeshivish we call the Kasav HaShlishi. Right? You could have two, we seem to have two polar opposite positions. Now we have the Chovas HaLevavos, the Ramban, we can add that to the Chazon Ish, the Or HaChaim, the Chassidish thinkers of a major machlokis. It's clearly not equal in terms of the number of people, but we have major, major Gedolei Olam, Baalei Machshava on both sides. And we seem to have a tension. Is Bitachon enough in and of itself? And is it even legitimate to have Bitachon if you're not a tzaddik? Or is it something that is simply a way of saying it's an independent value, but it's not a guarantee? It just means that you should trust Hashem, that everything comes from Hashem. But it could be that the bad thing comes from Hashem. It's not that, like, all of a sudden, I'm in a dark alley and I hear steps behind me and Hashem's going to save me because I had Bitachon. Said the Chazon Ish, that's ridiculous. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, that's ridiculous. Hashem will save you if he wants to save you. Hashem will save you maybe if you deserve it. But just having Bitachon is not the way to be saved. And yet we saw, even more clearly than the Ramban, we saw in some of the sources last time, that even it, just having Bitachon is enough to be saved. So it seems to me that we have a major machlokes. So says Rav Asher Weiss, he wants to suggest that maybe it's not so major at all. Omnam. Yes, of course, they are arguing how to read the pasuk, but that's not such a big deal. But really, if you get down to the depths of it in the pnimius, it's not really a machlokas. He wants to suggest that at least in the Ramban, I don't know if this will work for all the sources, but I think he's claiming it does, but at least in the Ramban he's saying, it's one thing if you don't have the actions, you don't have the report card, the resume, to match up. Right? That's chaval, too bad, and we're no excuses for that. You're a tzaddik, you haven't done what you should, you're not a tzaddik, excuse me, you're a rasha, you haven't done what you should have. But nevertheless, says Ramban, if you come to Hashem with a desire to do tshuva, with a genuine humility, then bitachon can still save the day. And that's all the Ramban meant. The Rabbeinu Bachai, on the other hand, he's ma'ir b'mish omid b'merdo. He's talking about someone who still is just as rebellious and has not in fact changed his mind or curbed his rebellion. He basically tries to prove this. We're not going to read it all now. We're running out of time. But he basically proves this from something later on Rabbeinu Bachai. You see a little bit at the bottom of the page here that he says it's meduyak in Rabbeinu Bachai that he's talking about somebody who isn't just a Russia, but he's omeid b'merdo. If you're omeid b'merdo, you're still actively rebelling. So you can't, as I say, you can't, like, while you're doing the Geneva, say Tehillim. Right? That's not going to work. Or, as we know, familiar from Elul and Shuva, there's the concept of Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado. Right? You jump in the mikvah holding the source of the Tumah. That doesn't work. But he wants to suggest, Rav Asher Weiss, that there's a slight difference. That when it comes to the Ramban or others, when they say it could work even for a Rasha, they mean someone who may not be a tzaddik yet, but still, somebody who at least wants to do the right thing and has a desire for tshuva, you could say, but has not yet turned the corner. If you skip to the next page, I'm sorry that the PDF is a little blurry here. It's a page Chav Gimel here. He wants to suggest, and this will take us to the end of today's shir, Rav Asher Weiss wants to suggest that not only is this pshat in the Ramban, and in the Chovas HaLevavos, so therefore it's not such a huge machlokes. Because really he wants to say, even the Ramban would admit that someone who's omeid b'merdo, he's still rebelling. He just, trusts Hashem. That's a joke. And Mitzad Sheni, he wants to suggest that the Chovas HaLevavos will admit that a person who's still a Rasha, but he already is Machaniah himself, he has humbled himself, he genuinely wants to do better, he just hasn't done it yet, he wants to suggest that even the Chovas HaLevavos would agree that Bitachon could help for such a person. In other words, it's not such a far machlokes. They really do meet in the middle. So, What's the coup de grace? How does Rav Asher Weiss, you know, kind of really bring this home? He wants to suggest here on page Chav Gimel, I'm sorry that it's not so clear, that this is in fact the same shot you could be medayik in the Chazon Ish, right? No one has been more extreme than the Chazon Ish to say that, you know, bitachon does not work by itself. Bitachon is not a magic bullet. It's not a magic potion. And yet he wants to show that if you look at broader text of the Chazon Ish, it's actually more nuanced than that. Even in the Chazon Ish's own words, we can find da'chein yesh midas habitachon kilish atzma lahavi al ha'adam es hashkachas Hashem v'rachamav. There are works in the writings of the Chazon Ish which seem to acknowledge that he has this less extreme view. And amazing, again, this is, I'm not saying no one else could have written this, but this really is a testament to Rav Asher Weiss's godless. Because not only is he, the whole Sefer is a testament to his, you know, Bekiyas and Inyanei Machshava, but the same person who's writing this Machshava Sefer could be Miyashev, a philosophical writing of the Chazon Ish, by quoting in the next paragraph, again, it's a little blurry for you, I apologize, but he's quoting multiple citations of the Chazon Ish in his halachic writings. In Choshen Mishpat, Simen Hei, and in Yoridea, Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, right? I don't know if the average philosopher would have seen that Chazon Ish, and the average halachist don't necessarily read Emunah Bitachon. This is part of his godless. So says the Chazon Ish, if you take a look at the Chazon Ish, if you take a look at the Chazon Ish's writings and these other things, what you will find is as follows. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Zayin and Mabet, you may recall this from early in the year, we did this in the first parak this year in Yeshiva, Baba Basra Zayin Mabet, Tamine Chachamim Einam Tzrichin de Tirusa, right? If you have a city and they have all sorts of communal expenses, so the question is, who has to pay what? And the general premise of the Gemara is you only have to pay, you know, a proportional taxation on things you need. So one of the things that people would typically need is to build a wall or to have guards at the wall for security, for defense. So says the Gemara, the Talmid Chachamim in the city don't have to pay that tax because Rabbanim lo tzrichin itirusa. A rabbi is safe, Hashem will protect him, he didn't need the wall, he doesn't need the guards, therefore he shouldn't have to pay for it. I'll mention, just because it's impossible to ignore, obviously this is a very important source when it comes to the whole issue of yeshiva guys going to the army and Hesder and all that stuff, and this is a raya that is brought by, among others, Moshe Feinstein for why yeshiva guys shouldn't have to go to the army. However, if you're interested, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in his famous piece, Rav Lichtenstein's piece about Hesder, he has a lengthy discussion about this Gemara, where he thinks, with all due respect, he thinks that's not the right application to the Gemara, and whatever the Gemara means, it has not little to no relevance to the modern situation of Chayalim and Yeshiva boys. I ain't shum, or we'll discuss that another time. But getting back to our regularly scheduled program, commenting on that Gemara, says the Chazon Ish, look at this, this is the paragraph in the middle, Hachanami matzanu chachamim she'ein lito me'am lin tirusa. You don't have to take taxes from the chachamim for defense. V'achrei she'be'emes tarosan magenes aleihem. Because after all, their Torah will defend them. Ve'enem netunim tachas mikrei ateva kashar b'nei adam. And they are not subject to the whims of the natural order of things. In the natural order of things, if enemies come and you have no wall, if you have no guards, you're in trouble. Shar b'nei adam, normal people are going to be need defense. But the Chachamim do not need that. Ki hashkachaso, here's the key point where it's bolded. Hashkachaso yisbarach hu lefi midas ha-bitachon sha'adam mashlich yehavo al boro yisbarach. The midah of bitachon is dependent on how much you put in, that's how much you get out. A person who lives his life having bitachon in Hashem, lives his life as someone who learns Torah and trusts in Hashem, he can trust that Hashem will, in equal proportion, have hashkach on him and protect him. Lefikach, therefore, the Talmid Chacham does not need to pay that tax. So says the Rav Asher Weiss in the next paragraph, Hari lan lehedja, baito shel Rabbeinu Chazon Ish, shachem b'pnim yaseh inyan v'amitato, vaday hashkacha so yizbarach hu lefi midas habitachon she'adam mashlich, yehavo abaro, v'dvar Rabbeinu Chazon Ish, nirin kasot shen yalela. 1 second, says the Rav Asher Weiss, this seems like a steer to what we saw previously and very famously in the Chazon Ish. I thought the Chazon Ish said that bitachon is an important hashkafa, but it does not in and of itself tip the scales. And yet here the Chazon Ish is saying clearly that how do you know if Hashem is going to save you? It's all based on your bitachon. If you have a lot of bitachon, Hashem will give you a lot of hashkacha. And if not, not. So it's, even though the Chazon Ish, to be fair, is talking about a tzaddik, but still it seems that Rav Asher Weiss is taking out of this is, independently, you see a value of bitachon. The bitachon is enough to tip the scales. Bitachon is enough to be the determining factor in hashkacha. Well, isn't that the very point that the Chazon Ish himself seemed to have been disagreeing with it almost to the point of ridicule. So how do you put together the two Chazon Ishes? He's not schizophrenic. So therefore he says in the paragraph of the Al-Kain, Al-Kocha, Nira, it must be what you have to say. D'ikr kavanoso b'sefer amuru bitachon shebechai ha-maise. When the Chazon Ish was speaking philosophically, we saw last time, what he means is as follows. For all practical purposes, in the practical world, mi ha-adam shiomar zechiti levavi ubatuach ani shelo enazek velo etzta'er v'hakash baruch yagen v'yoshua af opish eineni ro'oy v'eineni kadai. Says, practically speaking, who could be so confident, even you could say arrogant, to say, my bitachon is on the level that I live with so much faith in Hashem that I can trust. I don't need a guard. I don't need an army. I could trust Hashem. On a practical level, says the Chazon, says Rav Asher Weiss, how could anyone be so confident? Al pi rov ein zu bitachon gamor ela ta'atuei dimyon. Because most people, even if they said that, it's really just their imagination, or you could say their ego, trying to get in the way. But they probably don't really have that level of bitachon. Shuk ilu botech ba'adam ba'ashem b'chol avavo. They're telling themselves that that's how much bitachon they have. Ube'emes ein ze ela miflat omanos min ha'tshuva v'tikun ha'masin. And it's probably just the Yetzer Hara telling them that so they don't do tshuva. So, on a practical level, says the Chazon Ish, you can't rely on bitachon because how could you ever think you had enough bitachon? HaChazon Ish tiber el b'nei doro la'avinu la'askil ta'aksher yisurim poktim es adam alav la'shuv b'tshuva shleima o'letiv derachov malalov lo l'smoch ha'bitachon shav. The Chazon Ish is talking practically to people in his generation, in our generation, that if you have nisyonot, either they came already or you're worried about them coming. Practically speaking, tachlis, you can't just say, but I have bitachon. Because no one's bitachon, or at least no one could be sure that they have bitachon on that high a level. However, theoretically, what Vasher Weiss is saying, that's on a practical level. But theoretically, he says, or what he called bipnimius, he wants to argue, even the Chazon Ish would agree that yes, actually, if you really did have that level of bitachon, bitachon is enough. He's just saying that the Chazon Ish, in his more philosophical writing, was actually speaking ironically, in his philosophical writing, he's speaking very practically. Lamaisa, you couldn't count on it. But Aliba de MS, what he calls Aliba de Pinimius, in theory it could work. And I want to just do two or three more paragraphs and we'll end in a few minutes. Turning to the next page, on the top of the page, he says, Tam Sis Advarim. So the bottom line, where do we go from here? Nira Borer Be'enai Kimein Derech Mimutzas. He goes, I think we have found the middle way, right? The proverbial golden mean. Bein Shtei HaKatzot Hanal. Between the two extremes. What I said before, the synthesis, or the Kos of Ashlishi. Da'achein yesh skula nifla'a b'midas ha'bitachon. Mote'ah chut shel chesed l'orer alav al midas ha'rachmim. We have to assume, and again, even before this recent chiddush, it would still be the majority view. But now what Rav Asher Weiss is saying is he doesn't even think it's a machlokes. He thinks everyone, even the Chazon Ish, would agree that there is a special power, kind of like a lottery-like ticket, a special magical power, a silver bullet, a skula nifla'a of bitachon. That bitachon can give a person an extra dose, an extra level of guide's kindness, an extra chut shel chesed, an extra bit of rachamim. However, and that he thinks everyone agrees to. But at the same time, he says in the opposite, "Ach ein midas habitachon tachlif." Excuse me, lemidas hadin ve'ein omeres b'mokom schar v'onesh. But on the other hand, you shouldn't think that that means everything else is irrelevant, especially because how do you know you even have that much bitachon? Af hamashlech al Hashem yavod tzarach litchazek b'yira u'tshuva. Even someone who truly has so much trust in Hashem, it's still not enough. You still need to do other things. Right, as Chazal say, he was worried when he went to battle with Esav, maybe his chait would take him down. Yes, there's a certain level of a skula just from having the bitachon, but you can't be sure of it unless you couple that with tshuva and tzedakah or ma'asim tov and doing mitzvos. Ach af oz. Because if you don't do that, if you think you're just going to go to battle, so to speak, and the only weapon in your spiritual arsenal will be the bitachon, then you should be scared that maybe your bitachon is not going to be enough to save you. Maybe Hashem's strict judgment will get you. Ubah hashkacha pratis. L'olam b'yodi yisbrach la'azor l'hoshiya b'rachim avam rubim. In other words, says Rav Asher Weiss, bitachon, as the Chazon Ish said, is the belief that everything comes from Hashem, that everything is b'hashkacha. And yes, you should believe, as the Chazon Ish himself said, that no matter how desperate the situation is, even if the sword is hanging over your neck, Hashem could still save you. And that is not just theoretical. You could theoretically have enough bitachon that practically would be enough. However, he says, mitzad sheni, you shouldn't ever rely on that. Because what if you don't have enough? A much safer, a much more prudent, and frankly, the ideal way is to couple that high level of bitachon with a similarly high level of yirah shamayim and dikduk b'mitzvos. The only way you can truly be confident is if they both are coupled together. If you just have bitachon, is it possible that's enough? Yes. But how could anyone ever be so sure? And now we're just going to do one last paragraph and then we'll conclude right at the end of the piece. Again, we're skipping a few sources because there's just too much to do in the short time that we have. But the bottom line, he says, is Sof Davar, Midas HaBitachon, Skula Mufla, Yesh Bal Ora Rachmei Shamayim, Ubiyoter Kasher Mit Ametz HaBoteach B'Yiro B'Mitzvos. Bitachon by itself can move mountains. But even better is when you couple and you team up the Bitachon with Yir Shamayim and Mitzvos. If you can do both, that's the best way to get Hashem's compassion. But in the end of the day, do we truly understand Hashem's ways? In the end of the day, it's all really beyond us. Nothing, no matter how many mitzvahs you do, no matter how much bitachon you have, in this world that we live in, there is no guarantee that nothing bad will happen. What is really bitachon, and this is, I think, philosophical, theological, but it's also emotional and psychological. The ikra minis habitachon is not to worry about natural things. Not to be always scared of what's going to come next. Yosim yiftacho, rather you have trust in Hashem. Not trust that everything will automatically work out well, but trust shakol biyado yisbarach, that it's all in Hashem's hands. V'rak elav yisa einav, and that's what you should look to with your eyes, v'libo, and your heart. V'alav yashliach kol yahavo ulachasadav hamerubim yitpalel v'yichanan. So this, I think, is something very, very powerful, and I think he's really trying to do his best to have this kind of a hybrid approach. On some level, really, the Chazon Ish is right. True bitachon means not a guarantee that things are going to work out, but that everything comes from Hashem. On the other hand, it does seem clear from an overwhelming number of sources, and perhaps one source from the Chazon Ish himself, that there is even more than that in bitachon. The bitachon may have some magical, mystical skula effect that even more than other mitzvos or other midos can really make a difference. At the same time, he says, what person could truly be so confident to rely on that? To just rely on it, even if it theoretically could work, hypothetically could work, it's certainly not the best tried and most prudent and smart way to go about things. The best way is to have as much emunah as possible, as much bitachon as possible, and then tag that or team that up, couple that with your mitzvos.